most times when there's been a killing in Indianapolis, Reverend Byron Alston has been on the scene. He was out there last night on West 18th Street when two 20-year-olds were assassinated, because that's the only thing that can explain it, a man and a woman. Byron, the way I count homicide, I'm old-fashioned. I still count them the old-fashioned way. Yeah. We've had eight as of last night. We didn't get to eight till January 23rd. I checked before I went on the air. And that's not that. We had a record year last year, and we're already ahead of the pace using the old fashioned count. That's not a good look to start.
No, sir, it's not a good look to start.
That's scary.
Yeah.
I thought it was actually less, and then I said, let me do the research, and I literally was stunned about 15 minutes before I went on the air, and I'm right. Going, oh, this is not well. Was I 100 people out there last night?
There's probably 100 people out there.
And they did they know the individuals involved? Were these
friends? A lot of friends and family showed up, and they were very upset. And the rest of the 10 point was out with Reverend Harrison. And the police department, I can say, did a magnificent job. Mm-hmm. They were trying to do their job, but the people were so angry about what was going on that they couldn't concentrate on the people doing their job.
And it does get emotional.
It gets very emotional.
You know, because it's a crime scene, and so you can't move anything in a crime scene till all the photographs are taken and all that kind of stuff. And I know it upsets civilians who can't understand why they see things you don't want to see lying on the street and why it can't be moved. Just as if, and you have been out when police officers have lost their lives, same thing would happen.
Right.
You know, and you move somebody if you think there's a chance of life.
Right.
If you get out there and there is no chance of life,
you can't
then you can't move. And if it had been a police officer, it would have been the same thing. And I know police officers would have been angry. Hey, would y'all hurry up?
Right.
That's an understandable emotion. Right.
And the police department really handled that real professional. Like, I have to give them kudos, because the commander was there and all his officers were there. And
Officers understand the anger?
Right.
It may have been directed at them, but it wasn't personal?
Right. They were trying to explain to people why things were going on like they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
The commander even took it on his own to explain to people why they couldn't touch him, why they couldn't move him, and everything. And then after a while, Reverend Harrison, he was explaining, and Pastor H and other people that were out there were explaining. So then the crowd kind of understood it.
Mm-hmm.
But then we had to put on the hat to wear as it's us killing us.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere we have to stand up, and then we won't keep coming to scenes like this.
Right.
This won't keep going on. You know, we need to stand up. You know, and like Martin Luther King's birthday coming up. And as I was speaking with you, I was telling you, Martin Luther King never changed his message,
mm-hmm.
even though people got tired of hearing it.
Mm-hmm.
People got tired. We have to put the same message out that we need to stop the violence. People need to get involved.
We played earlier the clip from that old movie Network. Are we at that point where it's not just, I know people want, the leaders need to, you know, in that movie, The boy in the movie didn't go and demand that the network president, you the leader, network president, you go out and do it. He didn't go. He was telling ordinary folks, it's time for you to get mad as hell. We ain't going to take it anymore.
But to be honest, our leaders in our communities need to be mad as hell, though.
Mm-hmm.
If we never hear from the person that keeps coming to our community talking about vote for me and I'll set you free.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? How can we believe that they're out there for us?
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of parents, you know, they read the letters at the funeral from this person or this person and this person. We need to see you in our community. Our young black males need to see somebody that they can put a face with, that they can make a dream. Mm-hmm. Everybody went crazy when Obama was running for president. But if God can take Mandela from where he was and make him the president of a whole country and free people, we can do the same thing in our communities.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the problem. Our young males ain't seeing males who's supposed to be leaders, because we figure when we make it, we don't come back until we need you. Mm-hmm. We'll be back when we need you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's to vote for me or to come in and make this donation to my group or this or that. Mm-hmm. We need you now. Mm-hmm. Our leaders, we need now, because there was so many males out there, black males out there and females that were so upset they could see nothing else.
Are they upset enough
about what's going on?
Well, here's the other thing. Are they upset enough to pick up the phone or text
right.
If they don't want to use their name, text to Crime Stoppers. Call Crime Stoppers. Are they that mad, or is it just I lost my?
They were so mad, Amos. The comment that was made was, if they don't solve this, mm-hmm. it's going to be more homicides they're going to go to. Somewhere we have to stop. I'll tell you now, you're going to see a movement from young people that the older people are not even going to understand. Mm-hmm. See, because the younger people now are feeling like they say they care, but we don't see them. Mm-hmm. We hear them sometimes, but we don't see them. Mm-hmm. They're not really reaching out. And I know it's some haters out there that got mad. Oh, Rem Harrison always on the news. Rem Harrison is always out there. He have a wife and two kids. Mm-hmm. And he stayed out there last night till 1 o'clock or something with us. Mm-hmm. And he done the same thing we done. Talk to the people, calm the people down. I'm not here to assassinate the pastors or the preachers, but I'm saying we need to come out of the four walls. Mm-hmm. See, back in the day, I never understood what Martin Luther King and Malcolm X and all them was about. But when I sat down and actually watched it,
right.
He called the people to service. You say you care, stand up. I'm not asking everybody to go out there and walk the street late at night right. and all that. But if you show up, if they see numbers, they know we still care. We are losing our community at a record number rate to violence.
239-1310.
To stupidity.
239-1310. 239-1310's After News. Amos or text the keyword Amos to 378-90. 378-90. Let me go to Shara. Hi there.
Hi, Amos. How are you doing today?
I'm fine.
Okay, I want to comment on a few things. First, I want to say it's definitely a tragedy that what happened over there, and I have a teenage son, so, of course, as soon as I heard breaking news, I was worried. Like, could that be mine? Unfortunately, I'm thinking we're not providing – we're saying we're losing our neighborhoods at an alarming rate. I believe – I'm not from Indianapolis, but when I got here 9 years ago, I believe the neighborhoods were already lost. There are no jobs, then there's not quality housing. So you get into a house and, like, you got all this snow, okay, and the house isn't properly insulated, but I only rent the house. So how do I really protect my family? You know, you're spending loads of money on plastic trying to cover up every window, and it's not even coming through the windows. It's coming through the cracks in the floors or this, you know. So what I'm saying is in these neighborhoods, there's all these vacant houses, all these different things that people aren't being made to be accountable for the things that are bringing these neighborhoods down. You don't give quality housing. You don't have quality jobs. I don't see how you can think about bringing professionals to Indianapolis when you're not even taking care of the people that are here. We talk about welfare. Welfare only does so much, but I'm saying no one can survive off of a job that's $7.50 an hour and expect some type of change. And so I have two teenage boys. I have one that's 20 and one that's 16. And I hear them both. Like my 16-year-old, they have issues in school, and it's not necessarily these types of things aren't about drugs necessarily. It's about jealousy. It's about envy. We're talking about our children are being touched by the devil in so many different ways that it's not just about drugs. Because these young people are looking at drugs as a way that's how I feed. That's how I eat every day. Mm-hmm. Because my mama's strung out on crack. So how do I feed myself? What am I supposed to do? You get out there and you do the best thing that you know how or what you've seen. So if this is all that they see, because the first thing somebody do when they get some money, they move straight out the hood. They don't try to change the hood, or they bring their money in the hood in a way that keeps the hood trapped in slavery, and that's back slaying more dope. Like, let me bring some more dope, and I got these little young dudes. They're going to help me out. And that's what I see. And that's a sad thing, but I don't, you know, and as far as the lady commenting about Obama being in the office, not that, yes, black people made a huge leap when you got a black man in the office. But unfortunately, Obama hasn't done really much that's going to help me. Because when we talk about this affordable health care, I can't afford anything that's not free. You're giving me another bill. So now I got to worry about paying an added $100 or $200 a month to cover me and my children. So it doesn't seem like, yes, I'm glad a black man got into the presidency because it tells our children, yes, you're still supposed to have dreams. You're still supposed to have hopes. However, I don't see that when our kids can't even bring their books home from school. So how many hopes and dreams are they supposed to really have?
All right, good points, my sister. A couple of things, Byron Olson. I got my emailer that says, you've wasted an hour talking about nothing. I just emailed him back and says, okay, where are your suggestions? Come in here and says, you black people have no honor. You continue the ignorance with this type of guest. He's talking about you. And you don't hear the Hispanic community acting a fool. Well, I don't know. I got to talk to my friends with the Hispanic station down the street and see that. How important is it, though? You know, I understand the importance of leadership. It is now time for them to speak out. Right. But how critical is it? I said earlier, particularly elected officials, it is not a secret how to get a hold of them.
Right.
It is they would tell me, I ain't got the phone calls. I haven't gotten the emails. It's also up for the people that voted for them to give them that feedback.
I could say this. Mm-hmm. Back in the day when Julia Carson was alive, Julia Carson would show up in Kroger's. She would show up wherever in the inner city it was a problem in her house shoes. And she's going to take the complaint. She's going to find out what's going on, and she's going to get to the bottom of it. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? And the lady, I respect everything you were saying, ma'am, but we control who we vote for. Mm-hmm. Obama can't do it by himself, so we need to vote people in there that's for us, that's going to be about us, not somebody that just show up every 2 years and say, vote for me.
But that's also, I know the politicians are one thing, but there's also other areas of leadership. Let me give you an example. There've only been two African Americans who've been the chair of the board of the Chamber of Commerce in this city. One was Bill Mays. You can always say Bill Mays was out there. If you needed Bill Mays to be somewhere and it was a crisis, Bill was there. John Thompson is the current president of the Chamber of Commerce. African American. Don't see John Thompson nowhere. John Thompson could go downtown and talk about the marriage thing. Where's John Thompson representing the overall business community? Where is he talking about violence?
True.
Because I'm sure in the white business community wondering, you know, is this whole violence thing going to, you know, they're going to start thinking we Detroit, or they're going to start thinking we, you know, Philadelphia, we got to, you know, John, can't you keep your people under control? It's not just elected officials, and it's not just the church.
Right.
Hey, can I chime in here, Amos?
I Rem Lust, a happy new year.
Yeah, happy new year to you too, Amos. I was listening to my brother on the station, and I just left. I was just leaving the unveiling of the bust for Julia Carson at the state capitol. In reality, we have moved beyond our political leaders in what needs to be done. Because at the end of the day, just like us with 10 Point, when we get through doing what we do, we get in our cars and we go home. Now, I'm in total agreement that there has to be a cry out in this city against black-on-black crime. Mm-hmm. Because no one—
In a long time.
No one is really taking the forefront of this. And, you know, and don't get me wrong, Amos. You know, I look at the Trayvon Martin situation and in total agreement with it. Don't oppose it or anything like that. But my question is, how many Trayvon Martins are killing Trayvon Martins right here in the city of Indianapolis, Indiana— And there's no major outcry in our communities. Now, that's one thing. Mm-hmm. We can keep yelling about politicians. We can keep yelling about racism. We can keep yelling about all of that. But the reality of it is that does not give us the right to go out here and to kill each other like we're killing each other in the streets. And it is time. It's time for the leaders of our city, our community, to take the forefront and cry out, cry loud and spare not. We need help.
239-1310. Oh, the guy on the email, he took the Noah position. You know, I'm going to shut the door of the ark and save myself or your family. That's what I've chosen to do. And he misunderstands the story of Noah.
Yeah.
Noah wasn't fleeing to save himself. Noah was obeying God's commandment.
Preach, Ramus, preach.
And God said, Noah, you ain't going by yourself. You taking your whole family.
That's right.
And two of everything else.
That's right.
Because you're not saving yourself. You are saving my seed. I think that's what Scripture said. That is what Scripture
said. You preach real good, Amos.
In Genesis. 239-1310. 239-1310. We'll be back. What do we do? Eight killings.
counted the old-fashioned way. So far this year, we didn't get to 8 till January 23rd last year. And last year was a, wasn't a new track record, but it almost was there. I ain't liking the way this starts. This afternoon's with Amy. So y'all need to get mad as heck, and you ain't going to take it anymore after these.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
239-1310. Back to the phones, and Ron. Hi there.
Amos.
Hi.
I'm mad as hell. Amos.
Yes.
I'm going to talk on a couple of issues if I can, and I'm going to try to get them in briefly.
Okay.
If I can. Amos, rarely have I ever heard that the motive for killing someone was I couldn't find a job, so I murdered someone. Rarely have I heard it that I wanted something to eat, so I murdered someone. That's rarely the motive for murder. Usually it's envy, jealousy, hatred, you got something I want, or I don't want to go out and work for what I wanted, so I decided I was going to take yours. I don't see how you, me, or many of us can do much about people with that sort of mentality. We can pray for them. We can, I guess, as you say, try to talk to them. Those people don't show up for programs. They're not interested. They're not even listening to the radio show. Right now, most of what we're doing is we're preaching to the choir. That's that comment.
Okay.
Amos, I told you I agree with Abdul 95% of the time. If we take responsibility for ourselves, then by that same token, take care of our families, we make better communities. I've heard Reverend Al say that on his show.
Mm-hmm.
I think I said it first, but I ain't gonna trip. The last one, Amos, and this is for a bonus for all of us. I went through the expungement program, or the expungement, whatever you want to call it, policy. It took me less than 60 days to be expunged. There are things, once again, that you won't know because attorneys want to try to get you for $400 or $500 for something I did for free. But I will drop this little bit of knowledge for you.
Mm-hmm.
There's a young lady named Artesia at the Marion County Superior Court who is drawing up documents to help people get through the process. Superior Court 4, name is Artesia. Wonderful young lady. Those are my comments.
All right. One other thing. I don't know whether you were listening when the one of the first callers today talking about somebody could lose a job because they can't produce their high school diploma from 30 years ago. Why should not we get outraged and demand that companies don't play these little games that knock our people down? You can't tell me that a company would tell somebody white, if you can't produce your high school diploma from 30 years ago, you will lose the job that you're being productive in today.
I was mad she wouldn't put their name out. I guess she may have felt like she had to try to protect the young lady who she was calling for,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, at some point, that name ought to be put out there.
I agree with you, and actually, we got a couple other people that were telling me about a multinational, huge company all across this country that may also own a great metropolitan newspaper, and then another medical, one of the medical empires, allegedly, may be doing something like this. So, trust me, I really want to know if there are any local businesses, you know, with that kind of, you know, crazy stuff going on, because that's the kind of things that hold people back.
I can't be fired. I wouldn't doubt if it was eBay. Not eBay. Who are those people?
Them little Amazon people.
Amazon.
I wouldn't doubt if it was Amazon.
I'd really like to know. I'd like to peddle that story to the Washington Post. Oh, 239-1310, 239-1310. Got a text message. But some of you, we need to know how we can help them. And this is a text message. We need to get organized and get word out that the community is coming together to do something about the Bible, and it can't just be advertised on your show. 239-1310, back to the phones. And lost my place. Let me go to William right quick.
Well, how you doing, Mr. Amos Brown?
Real quick, you got about a minute.
All right, listen, we are, Mr. Heights said in an address to the people at a funeral that these things would not be tolerated. And it was a call to action. And unless we get together ourselves because the police just can't do it by themselves. Mm-hmm. People got to call in and tell what they know about this terrorist act that just happened where those two young people's life was just taken. If the Ku Klux Klan that did this, we'll be up in arms. And the call to action, let the legislators and all of the legislators downtown that have the power to change things get together with the clergymen and the peoples and do what you are doing right now, because you're always on the forefront, the cutting edge, of letting the people know what has to be done. A few people get together and allow the young people, the 2%, know that they will not get away with anything that they are trying dealing with violence. They won't get away with it.
All right. The mad emailer today, you know, threw out that the black church does a horrible job recruiting men. Now, that's a blanket statement that does not reflect the reality of some congregations that are out there. But then one of the previous callers talked about people that are committing the violence. They're not listening to the radio. They're not listening, you know, here. They're not, you know, there's probably they'll listen to maybe Kanye West, and that's a stretch right there. Somebody like that, who can reach them? If the church can't reach them, if existing leadership can't reach them, if media can't reach them, who reaches them? I got real quiet in here.
Hey, Amos. Well, listen, I'll take a shot at it. Because the reality of it is that the situation is beyond the reach of just those that you have named. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, with the validity in was in a broadcast today about jobs, about homes, about poverty, about a lack of education. That's all true. Mm-hmm. However, we cannot, as a community, we cannot continue to allow that to be a justified cause for us to kill each other. If you look at the homicides,
and that's what the previous caller addressed.
And I'm in total agreement with them that there's validity in every other thing that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. But in one sense, we're talking about apples and oranges. Right. Because regardless to what, we're killing each other. Regardless to how bad the situation is when it comes to education, jobs, racism, these are not new things that as an ethnicity that we just started dealing with. We've been dealing with this stuff forever.
Given the fact that the first murderer came from a good home, had all the comforts they wanted, and went with the sin of jealousy and envy and committed the first murder. And had every last time I checked, Cain was not poor. Cain was not on food stamps. Cain was not unemployed. Cain had a good job and slew his brother out of envy, right?
Correct. Now you'll be today, Amos, you will be more theological than I will.
Okay.
In today, you know, because you're absolutely correct. Oftentimes we want to say because a person came from this side of the tracks or because of this or because of that. Mm-hmm. There is nothing that can justify the homicides in this city with black on black crime. Right. I don't care what it is. I remember I grew up in the streets of Cleveland, Ohio. We grew up poor too. Didn't know we were poor until somebody told us we were poor. Mm-hmm. I mean, when we couldn't find nothing else to do, we would go to the orchard and pick baskets or bushels, as they say, of apples, and we would create ways to make money. We wouldn't go out here and just decide that we're going to kill somebody.
All right, let me hold you. Let me. We need to talk. We don't want to talk to a black leader. I got a black leader on the phone.
You just
saw him. Congressman Andre Carson.
All right.
Is on our live line. Congressman, how you doing?
Dr. Brown, always an honor and a pleasure.
Let me start with one, and then I'm going to get to the real serious subject that really, you know, has, you know, everybody in your district all up in arms today. I know you just came back from the state's Dr. Martin Luther King ceremony in the Rotunda, where they unveiled a bust of your grandmother, the late, great Julia Carson, one of the first African-American women to serve in the legislature, and put her up there where she's keeping an eye on the Republicans, up on the third floor. Your feelings, first of all, on that honor for your grandmother.
What a tremendous honor. What a long overdue honor. I can remember as a young man tagging along behind her as her page and in many ways her gopher as she went to work. In fact, some of the staffers and legislators up there babysat, in a sense, and I can remember having her combing through that voluminous text that is known as the Indiana Code,
right?
That very dense text as a young man, but it brings back fond memories, and it's long overdue. We will have to work on Banana Sloth Tanner next and Cordelia Lewis Burks and Faye Williams and other folks.
Let me bring to the more serious. We had two 20-year-olds basically assassinated last night in the 1300 block of West 18th Street. That makes 8 murders already this year. We didn't get to the number 8 until January 23rd of last year, and last year was a record-breaking year. There's a strong feeling, Congressman, that the broad base of black leadership needs to speak out to our own people that this mess has to stop. We've been playing the clip from that movie Network, where the anchorman gets up and says, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. If you agree with that, what can you do as a member of Congress in a couple of things, including touch base with your colleagues who've gone through this in their district? Are there things we can learn from their districts that we can bring here?
No, I think you're absolutely right. I think it's going to take a collaborative effort, starting with the most influential segment of our community, and that's our faith community. We need to get our illustrious pastors, who are our first contact in terms of leadership. We need to get our imams and rabbis and other leaders at the forefront. And also, we need to get our community activists who can sound the alarm. Those of us who are legislators help provide a legislative remedy, which is the primary reason, Amos, why I voted for the omnibus bill yesterday, because I don't think that the Republicans can keep cutting programs that Americans rely on.
Mm-hmm.
This omnibus, Amos, is going to help for mothers who are dependent on WIC. It's going to provide more research for cures for diseases. Particularly, it's going to deal with putting more police officers on our streets and getting more equipment. Just a few years ago, I helped secure grant funding to provide the Metro Police Department with numerous laptops to increase emergency response times. But due to sequestration and due to the antics of the Tea Party and other folks in the Republican caucus, law enforcement funding has dried up. But that doesn't mean that we can't sound the alarm. I do think leaders have a responsibility, but citizens have a responsibility as well. I think we've gotten to the point where too many people place expectations on leaders, and when you do that, you set yourself up for disillusionment and disappointment, when we have to realize the power lies with the people. So our community activists have a role to play. I'm thinking of some of our community center leaders, Regina Marsh, who has been sounding the alarm for quite some time. She holds forums regularly with the U.S. Attorney's Office, with the Prosecutor's Office, with community leaders and legislators like myself. She's at the forefront. There are other folks at the forefront. You've always been at the forefront, Amos, but it's going to take an ongoing collaborative effort to apply pressure to get this thing done.
Given that we now have a budget, that the House actually approved a budget, that the Senate approved a budget, it's going to the President to be signed. Are there funds somewhere hidden in that budget that could be used? I don't know whether it comes out of the Justice Department, what department, that could help? Because you mentioned the grassroots leaders, the community centers, which are underfunded, but groups that are out there, the street workers, and you know how important street workers are. Folks that are, they go out at 2 o'clock in the morning when people get killed. And can calm people down. Is there some money in that omnibus that instead of Oakland getting the money, I love Oakland, instead of Atlanta getting the money, ain't got nothing against Atlanta, instead of Brooklyn getting the money, ain't got nothing against Brooklyn, it's our time.
Yeah. Well, the money is out there as evidenced by our continual funding of our military efforts.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need another drone. In fact, one of the reasons why we even put drones into the conversation was to curb back on our heavy human presence in the Middle East. But having said that, I think as we cut the fat out of our military budget, those funds need to be and must be reallotted back into our U.S. Treasury and to our states and local communities. It's something that my friend Hakeem Jackson and Yvette Clark out of Brooklyn have talked about. I was just with Barbara Lee from Oakland, and I was just with Maxine Waters last night talking about this very issue. The money is there, Dr. Brown, but then again,
we're not in power.
The Republicans have the purse strings, and they want less government intervention and more states' rights, and we know states' rights is a code for a multiplicity of things that you and I don't want to have anything to deal with. But, again, it's going to take us sounding the alarm. It seems as if an apathy has crept in our constituents over the past year or so, and we don't see the same kind of righteous indignation as it relates to holding our electors accountable.
Is it Pastor Lussie, you look like you want to get in. You can ask.
Well, I do, because with all due respect, Congressman, and I just left from down there, too, from the award, and I was very honored to be there as a part of it. And very appreciative to even what you were saying. However, you know, I was on the street last night with those two victims that were killed. They could care less whether it was a Republican or a Democrat. And
I understand that. I believe
that in the right places, everything that you're saying is very true. However, to me, just to me, maybe I'm coming in on the late bus, I'm not sure. It's apples and oranges here. Because as you were saying, you know, from the legislative perspective, y'all handle that. Y'all take care of that. As Amos said, we're the ones that are on the streets. We're the ones that's out here dealing with these homicides. We're out here dealing with the mothers and the fathers that are crying day in and day out, you know. And the reality of it is that whatever's going on in Washington, whatever's going on in local government, it's very true. When you see where the dollars are needed to be kept or put in the hands of the individuals that don't have a problem with going out actually doing the work, that's a good thing. However, to me, when we talk about leadership, the first person that a person has to learn how to lead is themselves.
That's right.
And until we take ownership again into our communities, you know, I remember your grandmother. I'm not originally from Indianapolis, but I've lived here for some years. And actually, I used to be in the hair business, so I used to do your grandmother's hair. And she's one person that I admire so greatly because of her heart and her tenacity for coming out into the community. Yes, we do need leaders like her. The one thing I really appreciate about Julia Carson is that Julia Carson was out there encouraging people to take ownership of their own communities. It's time for our leaders, as we call them, to rise up and to begin to engage the people on a level that's never been engaged before. We're dealing with issues today on our streets right here in Indianapolis, Indiana, like they've never seen before. So we have to engage them. We have to empower them to improve themselves.
No, that's a very important point. You know, one of the things that she taught me was to make yourself available. And a part of that engagement, see, one of the deficits that I've seen, because you make a very brilliant point, is a lot of times the engagement doesn't come until after the killing has occurred.
Correct.
The engagement doesn't occur until after a bill has passed and it has been signed into law. The engagement has to be proactive and preemptive before that young child is killed, before a bill is signed into law. And I think the engagement has to be ongoing. You make an interesting point about empowering leadership. That's a very important notion. Now, the question becomes, what kind of leadership are we talking about?
Correct.
Because I think, particularly in our community, we are too caught up in labels. This person belongs to this denomination. We can't deal with them. This person is a Muslim. This person is Jewish. This person is Christian. This person is light. This person is dark. If we're dealing with these surface layers, our unity has become all for naught because we can't get over the trivial matter.
Let me ask, and I'm running short on a break, and I want to be fair to everybody. What is, from the two reverends that are here, they're out on the street, what is the more important? The leader going out immediately after the killing has occurred, or does there need to be
a big thing where the broad brush of leadership is standing publicly somewhere saying enough's enough. What's the platform?
The broad.
You're saying the broad, not the leader,
right, where the leaders come out and say enough is enough. That's what has to happen. Everybody, because somebody believes in somebody that's in the leadership role somewhere in the city. Once they see somebody they know, they trust, or they can believe it, and they see him saying the same thing, it goes like a wildfire. See, and the young people, I'm telling you, you're ready to see a movement in this city by young people that's going to tickle you pink. Because they are actually, now they're actually getting tired. All it takes is somebody to pull them together and say, this is how we gonna do this.
And there's a part of me that says, you know, come on with it.
Yeah.
There's a part of me that says that. Is it something, Congressman, where it's your responsibility to call everybody, and if it's a 200 people standing in a room, and it says enough is enough?
Well, I think, and as far as I'm concerned, I don't mind, never have I mind facilitating that kind of thing. But I am smart enough to know that there are numerous leaders out there who are willing to share the task. I think that we have to get out of this idea of allowing our leadership to be singular. Mm-hmm. There's more power, to Nelson Mandela's point, when you have a clenched fist. You have five fingers, but when it's a clenched fist, there's more unity. I meet with young leaders all the time, every day and weekly, nationwide, especially locally. And they are ready. But one of the complaints that I hear, and it's a recurring theme, is that there are older leaders who hold over their heads that they march with Dr. King. There are older leaders who continually hold over young people's heads that they aren't ready enough. Well, I counter that notion and say, if you're passionate enough about an issue, if you're upset about an injustice, you, in fact, are ready. Dr. King started as a young man. Malcolm X started as a young man. SNCC and CORE and all these organizations that we admire were started by young people. La Raza was started by young people. Cesar Chavez, when he did his work, he was a young man. So it's going to take the younger generation, but we need the older for wise counsel. And the younger cannot dismiss the older generation and say, well, their time has come, they should step aside.
All right.
That's a bad notion.
Congressman Andre Carson, always good to talk to you. We'll continue the conversation. 239-1310. 239-1310. I got to take a break. If not, they'll cut the lights off. We'll be back with more after these. All right, I got a couple of people that have been waiting very, very patiently. Let me go to anonymous number one at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, Amos. Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I have a suggestion that I think how we can deter some of these homicides and even apprehend those who are committing.
I love suggestions. What you got?
So, if we could have funding from private citizens to businesses and churches and money that is taken from these drug raids to ante up the reward for these people that are committing these crimes, I think we will have more deterrent and even able to capture those who are responsible.
As you were saying that, I would have thought that was a great suggestion, but Reverend Byron Alston and Pastor Horatio Luster, who are out there in the streets, you don't think that's a good idea?
I think that we have a lot of good ideas.
Okay.
You know, but what really works? What's really practical? What's really going to be put in place? That's not something, and really, I don't want to get into the matrix of that, but that's not something that we're going to actually see those dollars that are apprehended through drug deals or, where the police have arrested people and that type of thing. We're not going to see those dollars.
But a reward would not help uncork the spigots of information?
Rewards always help because as history has shown, if you put a reward out there for something, whoever you're looking for, you have them by the end of the day if the money is right.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying as far as churches and business and that type of thing, wanting to really put something there like that,
right,
that's not going
to work. All right, let me go to another anonymous who's been waiting patiently. Hi there.
Yes, how are you doing today?
Fine.
I just want to say to your host and the guests you have, I want to share this with you. A lot of times we have the tendency to look at things from a carnal perspective, but when it comes down to the spiritual part of it, really you have to let allow some things are happening because it's the will of God. And what I mean by that is for example, I've given this to the host, Amos, a while back, where it says, where it was Ezekiel 7, the Lord said, violence has risen up to rot of wickedness. And then also in the 19th verse of the 7th chapter, it says, your silver and gold will not be able to save you in the day of the wrath of the Lord. That being said, a lot of things are happening because it is God's will that every man to reap what he has sown. And no offense to the, you know, the black community as a whole, but if you notice, violence is happening all around this country, if not the world, and more of them, and they're not just black people.
All right, I see your point. Let me go to Carol right quick, then I'll bring in Reverend Malachi Walker. Hi, Carol.
Hi, Amos. I'm in total agreement with the caller that you just had.
Uh-huh.
That's what I was going to say. You know, in the Bible, when the Israelites, when they sinned against God, he punished them.
Okay.
And the only way they could save themselves was to go to Moses and say, we have sinned against God, you know, and then they had to make their sacrifices and their prayers and ask for forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that's what the black community has done. We have sinned against God by taking on too much of the ways of the world. We used to be a God-oriented people, and now we're more like the world than anybody. And I believe the only way we're going to stop our violence, because that's our way of being punished, I believe. God is taking our children away. And now, the only way we can make restitution with the Lord is to find a way to get all of us together and say, you know, in some big stadium or somewhere, and admit we have sinned against God, against our own people, and we come to you, Lord, and we ask your forgiveness.
All right, interesting point, my sister. I appreciate it. 239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name. We'll talk with Reverend Malachi Walker, who's out there in the streets dealing with young adults all the time. We'll be back with our remaining moments tomorrow. There's other stuff as well in our 2 p.m. hour. Yeah, he'll be here tomorrow. He better come right tomorrow because I'm not in a good mood. Also, United Way will be here. Because I want some answers, because they can, it's not their job to deal with violence, but United Way can do some things as it relates to working with youth, working with young adults, dealing with poverty, dealing with jobs. It ain't just pre-K. You know, we got to do some other stuff, all that and more. It's After News with Amos after these. Reverend Malachi Walker with Young Men Inc. wanted to, make a couple quick comments. Reverend, how you doing? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Amos, and also to Byron and Harris Lester's. Hey,
bless
God bless you guys. Hey, Amos, I am a strong supporter of the 10-point collision. Of course, you know that.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, truly appreciate all that they do.
Thank you, man.
2 days ago, I got a phone call from the chaplain from IMPD of a mother who wanted me to come out and do a prayer vigil on her son who was murdered on, you all probably recall this one, the 19-year-old in Hallville on 951 North King. And then a day later, Fox 59 called me and said the same thing. So I went out and did the prayer vigil last night.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to learn a lot about the young man who was murdered, and all the family was there, and it was a very touching and a sad prayer vigil. But one thing that I wanted to make very important is that our young kids, particularly our young black males, they are crying out for help. Our young black males, a lot of them have been through some situations, and there's some crisis in their lives and some home structure and upbringing at home, which drawn them to do a lot of things, what makes certain choices that they're making. So that's why I say it's very important that we need to reach out to our young boys at an early age, teach them and guide them and mentor them, raise them up where they're at that age so that they won't engage and go out and make some choices and decisions that's going to cause them their future, cause them trouble or harm to someone else or themselves, or they end up dead or in jail. So that I just strongly, for everyone who is listening, even those leaders, and I know Andre Carson just got off the phone, and he's one that I've been trying to call and get a hold of for many years to really come out and to sit down and talk to some of these young boys, but it's just so tough to get him to respond. But leaders, we have to come forth, and I'm outraged about that. And lastly, Amos, is that I'm so outraged. One, it's because every time there's a young person who's been murdered to homicide, it brings it back to memories of my daughter. Yeah. When she was killed in a home invasion in 2008. So all this is so dear to me, and you know, I'm not giving up. No matter what happens, if God calls me home, I'm out there in the streets, and I was out there doing that prayer vision of cold, and I will continue to do that. And I want to thank you for taking my call. And Heresto and the 10-point collision, Byron Olson and Reverend Harris, you guys keep on keeping on.
I appreciate that. Let me go to Lyric right quick, and maybe our last contributor for today. Hi, Lyric. You got about a minute.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, as a representative of the young folks that's trying to make a change in our community, I find that a lot of people are aged. It goes one ear out the other when the older crowd tries to talk to us about whatever that we need to do, and they try to use the Bible so much that it goes one ear out the other. So what me and the people that I in my community, what we try to do is we try to instill so much positivity and knowledge about who we are as a people in the very beginning, then they start to utilize who they are, and they transfer that energy into some sort of art that starts to take away the negative that whatever's in their mind. So what I'm saying is, yes, we need the leaders in our community to rise up and be that light for us, but for real, it's going to take us. You know, we're young folks, we're 20 and up, so, I mean, even from the 18-year-olds, but it's us that is going to need to take that change and make that change. We need to come together and do it, because the old heads, oh, excuse me for saying it like that, but we're not going to listen to y'all. And that's probably the issue, but it's at the same time, it's enough of us that have listened to the old heads who are saved from the Holy Ghost and going to church all the time to try to instill that to our brothers and sisters.
All right, let me,
the only one that they're going to listen is from us.
All right, let me let Pastor Rachel, let's end with a little God up in here.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, well, first of all, I appreciate your comment, because it has a lot of great validity to it. However, I think that is important even for, as you call, the old heads. It's as leaders, if we're going to make an impact in our community, we have got to learn how to be able to take the word of God that is has not lost its power or its sting, and we've got to be able to take it and make it applicable in the lives of youth and everybody for today. And I would like to address a couple of callers who called in just previously, and they spoke on the fact about, you know, about us repenting and right. God punishing us. I'm a firm believer in 2 Chronicles 7:14 that if my people that are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and heal their land. The script also denotes unto us that a man should pray always. My brothers and my sisters in the body of Christ, it's time for us to get up off our knees and pray and go pray while we're doing something.
Oh!
We can't stay in the church. We can't stay in the four walls. We can't stay and play the God card. And don't get me wrong, because I'm a God chaser, but we can't keep using that as an excuse of not getting up and going forth.
Because Jesus wasn't in
the
wall.
The Bible never said stay, it said therefore go. So it's time for us to get up
and go
and do something to save our community. It's right. Time for us to bridge the gap between the young and the old
and pastors,
and make a difference.
Guess what?
Yes, sir.
It's time for me to go. Guys, thanks very, very much for being with us. We'll talk a little bit about this tomorrow, but more importantly, I want to know, what's the United Way doing? Because we know they're raising money. But we want to know, with rising poverty, rising crime, rising this, what they doing. We'll find out tomorrow, and then we'll be here in studio on Dr. King's Day, some other stuff as well. I'm Amos Brown. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow live at 1:00.